much. Okay, who's up for having some fun tonight? We're going to have a great time. I'm going to try and explain now how anyone here can come to know the love of God personally. And I'm going to ask at the very outset for three volunteers. This is going to be a bit of fun. First of all, I need someone in my little sketch to play the part of God. Whoa, hang on. Are you truly qualified? Because you're going to be playing the part of the Almighty. Now, I thought to myself, I need someone who's full of love, full of fun, full of laughter. And I asked myself, who do I know who is a loving father and who also is the sort of dad that you just want to hang around with, the sort of dad that you just want to be with? PJ's gone home. PJ has returned home. No, PJ's already gone. So I thought, who's the sort of dad that if I was his son, I'd just want to spend time with him? And I thought of Mr. Stuart Gibbs. So Stuart, come and join us. The Almighty is a little bit slow in arriving, but here he is. Now, Stuart, could you please stand on that chair? The one that just over there. It's a little bit weird to ask, tell God what to do, but could you stand on that chair? Stand on the chair. It's quite a simple instruction. Thank you, Stu. Now, Stuart, you are God in this illustration, and I would like you to start creating the universe. Could you please throw some stars into space? These guys, incidentally, have absolutely no idea, as you can probably tell, what's going to happen tonight. Could you please start improvising, throwing stars into space, creating the universe? Okay, so he starts creating the world. God creates the world, but he also creates mankind. He creates people, and of course, man is created in the image of God. So far, God is just emptying his pockets rather than creating anything. A little bit weird. But never mind. He creates man in the image of God. But then, as you probably know, man sins and man becomes arrogant and proud. So I was thinking, who should I choose to play the part of man? I thought, I need someone who is glorious and magnificent, but who is ultimately depraved. Yes? I thought, I need someone who has greatness within him, but who is tarnished, fallen, and vain. I thought to myself, I need someone who was created in the image of God, but who has become obsessed with their own appearance. Yeah. And of course, I thought of the wonderful comic genius of the 12 to 14s, Mr. Stephen Dawson. So man, could you please come up here and please stand next to your loving Heavenly Father. Now, how does it feel to be this close to your loving Heavenly Father?
It's great.
Fantastic. You can see the love and affection just demonstrated there. Now, could you two please demonstrate loving affection? Now, as you can see, God and man are in wonderful close fellowship. They needed some encouragement, but they got there in the end. They were close friends. God delighted in man. God, could you look a little bit more delighted in man, please? Look a little bit more affectionate. Fantastic. Man was delighted in God. At this stage, man has never sinned, but at this point in our story, man did sin and distance himself from God. Stephen, could you please ignore God? Could you turn your back on God? And now could you get down from the chair and distance yourself from God? Leave him behind. It's very sad. And so man distanced himself from God. If you could stand on the chair there. As you can see, there's now a great distance between God and man. There is a problem. God is now too far away for man to get to God. The distance between them is too great. And of course, this is how our story could have ended were it not for the love of God. Because God called upon his one and only Son to come and stand in the gap. God, could you call for your one and only son? I need someone to play the part of Jesus. I need someone who is totally trustworthy, someone who's solid, somebody who's humble and has a servant heart. And I've chosen the most holy, Christ-like person I know, the king of the 12s to 14s, Mr. Nick Durbridge. Jesus, if you could come and stand in the gap, bridge the divide. Now, Jesus has come to earth and Jesus dies on the cross. And as he holds out his arms, we can see he's creating a bridge whereby man can come back to God. Man, there is now an opportunity for you to turn from your wicked ways. And if you trust solely in Jesus, you can get back to your Father. Take a step. Take a step tonight, man, onto the cross of Christ. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Hold on tight. Jesus, everything depends upon you. The whole salvation of the human race is at stake. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. And now, take a final step. Trusting in the cross, holding on to Jesus, back to your loving Heavenly Father. Trust solely in Christ. Come back. Whoa, it works! Hallelujah! Wonderful. Thank you all very much. You may now get down. Didn't they do well? Didn't they do well? Now, as we can see, man had to totally trust in Christ, trust in Jesus to get back to God. And that's the key to our subject tonight. Here's the key question. Have you ever made this journey? Have you ever trusted in Jesus to get back to God? Jesus is the only way. He's the only way back to God. Have you ever taken this step? Have you ever made the journey? Jesus said, as he stood on the cross, Jesus said during his life, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You can come to him tonight if you've never done so before. And I want to ask you, have you really and truly become a Christian? If you're not sure, let me ask you three questions. First question is this: do you know God personally tonight? Or are you still over here? Are you still some distance from God? If this is you and you're standing over here and you don't know God personally, you can make a step tonight, a physical step, and come, maybe for the first time, to give your life to Christ. Second question, if you're not sure whether you're really a Christian, has there ever been a day in your life where you've made this step? Tonight, Stephen Dawson made a step. Have you ever made a step? Has there ever been a day or a period or a time in your life where you consciously decided, "I am giving my life to Christ"? If you've never made that decision before to put your faith in Christ, you can do it tonight. Thirdly, are you sure that if, perish the thought, you were to die tonight, are you sure that you wouldn't be dying over here? Folks, if you might be dying over here, this is a problem. Jesus spent 3 years warning people about the perils of dying over here. And so he said things like this: come, follow me. Come to me. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you don't know for sure that you have a place in heaven, you need to come and trust in Christ tonight. And tonight, before you leave this place, you can be sure that you have a place in heaven. You know what? If you're not sure that you've ever made this step, if any of the three things I've just mentioned are true of you, the chances are that you've never fully given your life to Christ. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. At the end of this message, we'll all stand and I'll give you an invitation to come to the front, to come across the bridge and come to faith in Christ. Now, last year, I brought, you may remember, our youngest daughter, Grace, up on stage. She's now 1 year old, And there she is. Now, if I tell you that I love baby Grace, you think, well, no surprises there. Of course you love her. You're her father. You made her. Of course you love her. You know what? God the Father loves you more than I love baby Grace. Because in the same way he made you, he created you to have relationship with you, just like me and baby Grace. God loves you more. And so that's how mankind started off. Mankind started off close to God, but then all of us have wandered away. And we all do this as we get older, as we wander through life. I mean, there are so many great things to enjoy. Fun, laughter, friends, entertainment, sport, whatever it is that you're into, God's given us so many good things to enjoy. And so we wander away from him. But as we do, you know what? Sometimes we wonder in the low times whether there's something missing. Maybe there's some other dimension to life that we haven't quite got into yet. Maybe when we're feeling lonely or insecure, ever felt hurt by somebody else, a relationship breaks up, and you feel alienated and fed up, and maybe you wonder, is this really it? Is this all there is to life? Could it be that there's something more that I'm missing out on? And of course, people don't really know how we feel. Maybe when a relationship breaks up or somebody hurts us or even our parents hurt us, we don't really show because we do this thing in this country where we wear a mask. And so we give the impression that everything is okay when in fact it isn't. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're hurting inside tonight. Even as there's much celebration in this place, you know what's happened to you in your life is really tough. And so you're hurting, but you wear a mask. And we go through a journey in life. And I want this rucksack to represent our journey. Because as we go through life, you know, we all have a bag of some sort. And just imagine if you put everything that you ever picked up and handled in life, imagine you put it in your rucksack. Now, I know your bag will get full pretty soon. So let's just take a few items. And these are just merely no more than symbols. Firstly, what do you think of my mirror? Pretty cool, huh? Now, we use a mirror, and it symbolizes the fact that we so easily get preoccupied with ourselves. You know what? We used to look at God, but now we've ended up focused on ourselves. So we wonder, what does so-and-so think of me? Or better still, what do I think of me? And so we get preoccupied with my appearance, my exams, my success, my goals, how much money I do or don't have. My world is what I see, and I focus on that. Or subconsciously, we may be thinking, if only I could get the right girlfriend, or if only I could get the right boyfriend, then I'd feel better. Or you know what's even more likely? If only I looked better, then I'd feel better. And you know what? Subconsciously, as you look into the mirror and as I look into the mirror, we are hoping to see something encouraging in the mirror that will fill the hole that we feel inside, that will soothe the ache of the things that have happened to us in life. That's what we do. Or maybe more likely for some, it's this next item, a laptop. Now, a laptop is a great thing, and it enables you to surf the internet and look at all kinds of wonderful stuff all over the world. It's a great thing. We can watch whatever we want. But you know what? Can I ask you? What if everything that you've ever watched on your computer were to appear on the big screen at New Day? Yeah, exactly. For those of you who aren't laughing, is there anything that you have ever watched on your computer or your laptop that we couldn't put on the screen at New Day? What if it were your thoughts? What if all your thoughts went up on the screen? The reality is, every website you have ever visited, every page that you have ever accessed, is recorded in the memory of the computer that you use. What if your thoughts were the same? What if your thoughts were appearing on the screen? We can so easily sync this laptop with that screen. How would you feel if all your thoughts appeared on the screen at New Day? So we use a laptop, we use a computer, and so this also goes into our bag. Final thing is a passport. Now, we take it for granted that we can go wherever we want, we can do whatever we want. This is our ticket to ride. And so people like me say, you know what, it's my life, I can do what I want. But that's only half true. Because although I can do what I want, it's not my life. It's not your life. God gave you your life. And one day, God will ask us to give an account for the life that we've lived. We so easily take our life on earth for granted. We take our freedom for granted. And we effectively say to God, after a few years, we may end up saying, you know what, God, I'm grateful for the freedom that you've given me, but to be quite honest, I'm busy enjoying myself. I'll catch you later. And we head off into adult life through our teenage years, journeying away from God. Now, I'm happy to tell you, just for a funny story, a funny interlude, that 11 years ago, I used this very passport to travel to Paris, where I proposed to Julia, who is now my wife. Yeah. And just to back up a little bit, in the boys' seminar in here on Monday, we were asking the mega question, if you're a guy, how do you find the right girl? And just to back up even further, when I became a Christian, I had a Christian friend called Charles C.J. Davis, who gave me some advice. He said, Adrian, there are two things that you need to look for when you're looking for a wife. She needs to be, firstly, a Christian, and secondly, a woman. So, taking C.J. Davis's advice, I went looking for one of those woman Christians. Is there a woman Christian over there? And that was CJ's advice. But you know what? CJ Davis never told me about falling in love, because that's what happened to me next. I fell in love. And so 11 years ago, my dream was to marry Julia Brown. But my question was, why would she want to marry me? After all, I was 4.5 years older than her. I mean, don't you think that's a bit much? Yeah, exactly. Plus, all my friends told me that she was too good looking for me. And when I looked in the mirror, I realized they were right. And so it was that the first clue that Julia might possibly be interested in me was once when I was sitting next to her on the sofa. And there was a large group of people in the room, and I realized that her knee was touching mine. But of course, I just dismissed that as purely accidental knee contact. You know, the sort of slightly embarrassing accidental knee contact that must happen all the time when a girl finds herself sitting next to a guy that she doesn't actually fancy at all. And so I thought, well, any second now, Julia will realize that her knee is touching mine, a bit embarrassing, and she'll withdraw her knee. I have to tell you that 5 seconds passed, and no such knee withdrawal took place. Oh, yeah. But then I thought, maybe the sofa is so small that Julia has been squashed into sustained knee contact against her will. But then I looked at the size of the sofa and I realized, no, there was enough space. And then I thought, maybe she's got like one of those medical conditions where you can't feel things. Maybe she's had a nerve cut in her right knee. Or maybe she has paralysis of the right knee. But I realized that was nonsense. And so it was. I realized that if her knee was still touching mine in 10 seconds' time, I would take that as official confirmation that she was interested in me. I have to stand here and tell you that 15 seconds later, her knee was still touching mine. Woo! And I realized that I had received a signal. Anyway, to cut a very long story short, sometime later, I was ready to propose, and so it was in the summer of 1997. I hid in the bushes planning my first burglary. Oh, yeah. My mission was to break into Julia's parents' house and steal her passport. Because, of course, my plan was to take her away for a surprise trip to Paris. And I thought maybe when we go on this surprise trip to Paris and then I propose, she might say yes in a sort of disorientated daze brought on by the excitement of international travel. So, I broke into her parents' house, I nicked her passport, we flew off to Paris, and in a restaurant called Le Table d'Hôte du Palais Royal, I got down on one knee. I said, "Will you marry me?" She said, "Yes." Big time. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, I know that's all very impressive. You can just call me, if you like, Captain Romance. Or possibly I should change my name to Robert Omance. Just to reinforcing my credentials. So that was my first trip abroad with Julia, who is now my wife. Now, imagine that you are at an airport and you are going on a journey also. You've got your bag. It's got all your stuff inside it. You put your bag on the scanner. That's your hand luggage. That goes through fine. But when you walk through the security gate, just imagine that it goes beep, which you weren't expecting. And so what happens is that those two security guys come over to you and they have this thing, which is a security wand. Okay? And then you may have had this experience, probably many of you have. They begin to pass it around your body. And of course, they're trying to find out what is it that made the gate go beep. And imagine that as they get to your heart, it goes beep. So what is it? It's not anything in your legs. It's not anything. It's something in your heart that is making this thing go beep. Now, what's going on here? Let me explain. This is no ordinary security wand. And this is no ordinary flight. This airport terminal is your life on earth. And the flight that you are trying to catch is the plane to heaven, and it's leaving soon. And unless this thing stops beeping, you're not getting on that flight. You cannot get rid of your heart. You're never going to make it on the plane to heaven. Why is your heart making the scanner go beep? Because something potentially dangerous has got into your heart. You see, the mirror is nothing. But you've made yourself the center of God's universe. The laptop and the passport are nothing. But in your heart, you've used the freedom that God has given you just to do your own thing. And so the security guys take you into an interview room. They need to question you. And this is getting serious. You can't explain why your heart is making the scanner go beep. Friends, this interview room is like the last judgment in the Bible. And the Bible says, it is appointed once for everyone to die, and then face judgment. You might say, no way, no way, Adrian, I'm not going to face judgment. I'm just going to breeze through. But you know what? The Bible says we're in for a surprise. There is a judgment day. Now, actually, the idea of a judgment day is not that weird. It's in culture. It's on your TV every Saturday night, early evening, talent shows. Don't you enjoy talent shows like X Factor? Do any of you like X Factor? Now, the reason why everybody watches the early rounds of X Factor is because it's so absolutely hilariously funny when people who genuinely think they're good enough are told the truth. And the contestants are shocked. They say, what, me? Not super talented? And so I thought I'd just, for a bit of fun, read you some of the things that Judge Simon Cowell has said to contestants on X Factor. And I know you're going to find these funny. Simon Cowell to contestant. Robert, I think you just killed my favorite song of all time. Robert. So, killing in a good way or killing in a bad way? Cowell. Robert, killing is never good. And that was murder in the first degree. Here's another one. Cowell, are you taking singing lessons? Contestant. Oh, yes, I am, actually. Cowell, who is your teacher? Oh, a lady in Scunthorpe. Cowell, do you have a lawyer? Contestant, no, I don't have a lawyer. Cowell, get a lawyer and sue her. Here's another one. Cowell, your performance was like watching something out of a horror movie. Outraged contestant, what on earth do you mean? I've got the X Factor. Cowell, yes, darling, but not on planet Earth. Next, I love this one. This was said to the husbands and wives group. It's about time. That was their name. Cowell, oh dear. You can't sing. You can't dance. What do you want me to say? It's about time. Reply, what? I can't believe it. We always thought you were such a wonderful man, but you're not. We're good. All we need is some direction. Cowell, I agree. The direction is over there. Please walk towards the door. Here's another one. Cowell, okay. We're friends now, right? So we can be entirely honest with each other, can't we? Contestant, absolutely, Simon. Cowell, you doing that ballad was like casting Ricky Gervais as Rambo. Next, a contestant called Jackie. Cowell, Jackie, that was an extraordinary performance. Jackie, oh, thank you very much, Simon. Cowell, no, Jackie, it wasn't a compliment. You sounded like you were screaming at a neighbor. Now, I think Simon Cowell's comments are unnecessarily mean. But when interviewed, Simon Cowell said this, I met someone the other day who is 28 years old and he hasn't worked a day since he left college because he's pursuing a dream that he will never, ever realize. He thinks he's a great singer, but in fact he's awful, but nobody has ever told him. That's 8 years, Cowell says. Think about it, 8 years. If I said to most of the people who auditioned, good job, awesome, well done, I'd firstly be lying, and secondly, I would be encouraging them to live in a bubble that will one day burst and leave them with an even more crushing disappointment. What the cameras don't show you, Simon Cowell says, are the past contestants who've written to me years later and said, thank you, Simon, for talking sense to me. I could have wasted the whole of my life. And folks, Jesus' message was in effect, don't waste your life. Jesus' message was, I am warning you ahead of time that there is a judgment day coming in the future, and everyone will stand before a holy God, and we will find on that day that no one is good enough for heaven. And so Jesus was doing us a favor by warning us ahead of time what's going to happen, that one day we'll be judged. And we cannot change our heart. You cannot stop this thing beeping. That means you are going to miss the flight and you'll never get to heaven unless you get a new heart. Jesus said, it's not what comes into us that makes us unclean. Jesus said, it's what comes out of our heart that makes us unclean, like impure thoughts. And so we're stuck with this sinful heart that we cannot change. We can see the plane out the terminal window. We know the plane is going to heaven. We can hear on the tannoy, our plane's boarding now at gate number 7, but we're not going to make it. We can't clear security. And in the same way, folks, there is a judgment for sin. And the Bible says the judgment for sin, or the wages of sin, is death. You do a job, you get a wage. You sin, you get death. There's no way that I can bring my impurity into heaven. Never, ever, ever in a million years. You cannot have a sinful heart. How can you have a sinful heart worshiping God in heaven? And if you can never get to heaven, well, eventually you'll die here. And the punishment for sin really is death. You can never get through the heavenly security check. So you and I are totally stuck in the airport terminal. But folks, that's the end of the bad news. From now on, it's good news all the way home. And the good news is this, that God loves you tonight so much that he sent his son Jesus to earth to solve the problem. Is anyone here excited about that? Jesus arrives on planet earth. And he walks through the security scanner, and this is the first person to ever walk through the scanner where it did not go beep, because Jesus had a pure heart. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He was totally pure. He is in a category of one. He's the one person in the history of the universe to ever walk this planet who was totally and utterly pure. And when he walked through that security gate, it did not beep, because he's got a pure heart and he came to earth for you. What possible reason could Jesus possibly have to leave such a wonderful place as heaven? Who in their right mind would ever want to leave paradise? Yet Jesus did. Why? Because he came to get you and you and you and you and you and you. He came to get every single person who's in this tent tonight. You were stuck in the airport building with a sinful heart, destined for hell. But Jesus has come to rescue you from a fate worse than death. And he decided to attempt the most daring rescue operation. He saw your sinful heart, and tonight Jesus wants to perform open heart surgery on you. Jesus has come to offer you a heart swap. Jesus' pure heart swapped into your body, your sinful heart swapped into his. This is an amazing deal on offer tonight. God says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove tonight from your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Hallelujah. Jesus is offering, hallelujah, isn't that wonderful? Jesus is offering a clean and perfect solution. Jesus is offering a clean and perfect solution, open heart surgery. He's willing to take your sinful heart and give you something much better, his pure heart. Friend, your sinful heart, one day when you're 70, 80, 90 years old, will stop beating. But Jesus' eternally pure heart will never stop beating. You need a heart swap. And if you get Jesus' eternally pure heart, you'll breeze through security, because Jesus' heart will never make that thing go beep. You'll have Jesus living inside you. And if you go through security with Jesus' heart inside you, you can board that plane, go on that journey to heaven. You're going to have the trip of your life. That's what's on offer tonight. But to perform open heart surgery tonight, folks, we need a blade. Now, the guys are going to bring on stage now the most famous blade in history. The most famous blade in history is a guillotine. We have a real working guillotine. Jesus decided to take your sinful heart and give you his pure heart. How can that sort of heart surgery ever take place? It can only happen with a blade. And this is the most famous blade in human history. When I was in Paris on that trip with Julia, like all the other day trippers, we visited all the sites, including the Place de Concorde, where the guillotine stood during the French Revolution. The guillotine was a symbol of terror that sent fear into the hearts of French people 200 years ago. And I'm using it here for two reasons. Firstly, because we need a blade to perform open heart surgery. And secondly, because we get so used to seeing beautiful jewelry crosses made out of silver and gold that we forget that the real cross of Christ looked as gruesome and as shocking as this guillotine looks to us today. This reminds us of the fact that Jesus Christ was executed. Jesus was executed. Why? Because God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to come and die instead of us. God could see that the just and fair penalty for sin was death. And he sent his son Jesus into human history to die the death that you deserved. Jesus lived the life you could never live, but he died the death that you deserved. God dreamed up a swap. So it's a substitution. We deserve to die, but because God loves us so much, he sent Jesus to die instead of us. Just imagine you're lying on this table and your head is literally on the block. And so with your head on the block, you can see the blade rising. And you know when this thing falls with terrible force, your life will be over. The wages of sin is death. Your head is on the block. All the people of Paris are gathering round to see you die. And then a stranger, a man you've never seen before in your life, pushes through the crowd. And he runs up onto the scaffold. And there, what happens? He grabs a hold of your shirt. He pulls you up off the table. He takes your place. He puts his head on the block where your head should have been. And then the powers that be, the government, say, yes, we accept the substitution. The stranger's head is on the block. You're in the crowd. You should die. But instead, the stranger dies in your place. Friend, that's exactly what happened when Jesus Christ died for you. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on the cross, it was the same thing. The Roman soldiers dragged him up a hill to Golgotha, and there, Jesus Christ took your place. You should have died, but Jesus died instead of you. That's what happened. God loved you so much. That was the penalty. It's why I'm showing it to you, because you need to understand you would have died and you will die unless you accept this substitution. Jesus Christ died in your place. This is what the Bible says. We were all unrighteous, and yet on the cross, the Bible says Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous, that's Jesus, for the unrighteous, that's you and me, to bring you to God. Can you see the swap in that verse? It's a substitution. Folks, in some weird way that I don't yet entirely understand, when Jesus went to the cross for you, he became sin. It's what the Bible says. God made him, that is Jesus, who had no sin, he was perfect, to be sin for us on the cross. He became sin so that in him, if you accept the swap tonight, we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus loves us so much that he took our sinful heart so that in exchange we can take his pure heart. When Jesus died, he was pierced for our sins. The Roman soldiers got a spear, and just to make sure he was dead, they put the spear through his heart. Jesus was crushed for our sins. He himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross. Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. When Jesus' heart was broken on the cross, the Bible says that his blood was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says that on the cross, as Jesus bled, he poured out his life unto death and bore the sins of many. And because of what happened on the cross, if you respond tonight, then as you come forward, Jesus will perform a beautiful operation on you. He'll take out your sinful heart and he'll give you his pure heart. Jesus performs open heart surgery. Revelation 1:5 says that Jesus loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Jesus wants to take away your sin by taking away your sinful heart. If you will let him, he will give you his pure heart. And if you come forward tonight, you'll get a pure heart. You'll get born again. Friend, 10 years ago, my dad had open heart surgery. And if he were on this stage tonight, he's in his 70s now, he would say, the best decision I ever made was when I decided to go through with open heart surgery. And when I gave my life to Christ, it felt great. And it still does. And when you give your life to Jesus, you get peace. God is now in control. A real God who really exists and wants the best for me now has control of my life. I'll just tell you a funny illustration of how peace came into my life. A few years ago, I was in bed 3:30 in the morning, and the alarm goes off on the outside of our house. A whir, a whir, a whir. And I get out of bed, and you know what? I cannot switch this thing off. It just won't stop going, a whir, a whir, a whir. And so I disconnect the electricity supply to the whole house. And still this thing doesn't switch off. It's whir, a whir, a whir, a whir. And at the end of that, you know what? Still this thing doesn't switch off. And so the next thing I do is I think, well, I'll pull the wiring out the wall. So I pull all the wiring. Don't do this at home. I pulled all the electrical wiring out of the wall. Still this thing would not switch off. A whir, a whir, a whir, a whir. By this stage, my next door neighbor and his wife have come round, and they are standing in my living room in their dressing gowns, and my next door neighbor is swearing at me. And this is not good, okay? And it's going, wah, a wah, a wah. And so the next thing I do is I think, what on earth am I going to do? So what I do is I get out a ladder, and I put this ladder on the outside of my house. This is nearly 4 o'clock in the morning. It's been going for 25 minutes now. A whir, a whir, a whir. And as I'm climbing up this ladder, I get hold of a sledgehammer. And I'm climbing up this ladder. And as I climb up the ladder, I can see that all my neighbors are waking up all around me. And they are thinking, when is that bloke going to do something about that house alarm? And do you know what? As I draw back the hammer to smash this alarm to smithereens, at that moment, it stops. And the peace and the joy. I can hear the birds singing. Folks, that's what it's like becoming a Christian. Over the years, the pressure builds. The family hassles. A whir, a whir, a whir. The relationship hassles. A whir, a whir, a whir. The relationship breakup hassles. A whir, a whir, a whir. All the aggravation you get as people hurt you. They come into your life and they hurt you. A whir, a whir, a whir. And then suddenly, on a Wednesday night, a new day, you come forward when you're invited. And at that moment, it stops. That's what's on offer tonight. You have Jesus living on inside you. It's sorted. It's all over. Meanwhile, the devil, incidentally, is working overtime to try and convince you that he doesn't even exist. That's because he hates you and he's got a plan for your life. And 2,000 years ago, the devil is watching the crucifixion, and as Jesus dies, Jesus says, "It is finished." And the devil says, "That's right, Jesus, because you are finished, because you're dead." And the devil's pleased. Not only has he got all these people stuck in the airport terminal dead, but he's got Jesus dead as well. And I imagine that night, for all I know, there were probably high fives in hell. Because the devil mistakenly thought that Jesus' mission had failed. But I'm here to tell you tonight the good news, that the devil's celebrations only lasted 3 days. Yes, it's true. Jesus died and was buried on the Friday, but the good news is that on the very first Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And so, Jesus took the sword of the Spirit and he marches into this place and he says tonight, "I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, he will live and never die." Hallelujah! And Jesus would march in here and he'd say, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. Behold, I was dead, but now I hold the keys to death and the grave." Hallelujah! And so the good news tonight is that if you've been lonely and rejected, if you felt insecure and hurt, people have come into your life, they've hurt you and left. If you've been living through pain at home and pain at school and pain in your family, then the good news is it doesn't matter how deep a pit you may be in tonight, Jesus is coming to get you out. Jesus has now got the sword of the Spirit. The very blade that caused Jesus to die is the very thing that gives him victory. Do you see, the same wooden cross that caused Jesus to die is the same wooden cross that gives Jesus the victory. And because of Jesus' victory, here's the good news. God has exalted him to the highest place and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah! Woo! And if you respond to him tonight, if you come forward tonight, you can swap your sinful heart for his pure heart. And Jesus will perform open heart surgery on you. And he'll take you through that gate and onto that plane. And you'll have the most wonderful experience with him. And that is why Jesus is so great. Because everyone who swaps with Jesus can go through security and be reunited with your loving Heavenly Father. And anyone and everyone who responds tonight can be saved. And the Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that wonderful? And so, I'm going to read some of Jesus' names. And if you like Jesus' names, you can give each one a little cheer as I go through. To the jeweler, the Bible says Jesus is the pearl of great price. Next one, to the baker, Jesus is the bread of life. To the soldier, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Listen up, this is a great one. To the orphan, any orphans in here tonight? To the orphan, he's the everlasting Father. Hallelujah. To the builder, Jesus is the capstone and the cornerstone. To the blind man, Jesus is the light of the world. To the astronomer, he's the morning star. and to the grave digger. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. And finally, to the sinner, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Well, you know the story. 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, he ascended up into heaven. And that's where Jesus is right now. He's in heaven, ruling and reigning. But I'm here to tell you tonight that one day in the not too distant future, Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, the book of Revelation says he's going to have this thing. Revelation 19 says that he'll be called faithful and true, and he'll come back charging on a white horse, and his eyes will be like blazing fire, and on his head will be many crowns. The armies of heaven will be following him, and Jesus would charge in here tonight holding a double-edged sword, and on his robe and on his thigh he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! Woo! And Jesus tonight would close in on the devil and say, you lose. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has lost its sting. Devil, you lose. And then Revelation 19, you can read it when you get home, says this, that Jesus will then take this sting and he will use it on the devil and on his evil psychic. This is Revelation 19, the false prophet and the beast. And Jesus will destroy them forevermore. Hallelujah. And so tonight, Jesus wants to get every passenger he can and send them through the gate. One after another, you can pass through. If you come forward tonight, you can go through this gate with Jesus to heaven. And this time, it won't beep because you've now got Jesus living inside you. All your sins were dealt with back at the cross. So tonight, I want to invite you, come forward. Come to Jesus Christ, who loved you enough to die for you. Nobody loved you enough to die for you, but Jesus Christ did. Come to the cross. Have a heart transplant. Get Jesus living inside you. And then you can take your place on the plane, and you can be reunited with your loving Heavenly Father. Wonderful. You know, at the start of this message, I asked you whether any of these three statements applies to you. Firstly, maybe you believe in God, but you couldn't say that you really know him personally. That's true of many people here tonight. You can come and know him personally in 3 minutes' time. Secondly, maybe there's never been a specific time or period in your life when you gave your life to Christ. Thirdly, you don't know for certain that if you were to die tonight, you go to heaven. Folks, if any one of those three applies to you, then the chances are that you've never fully given your life over to him. And I'm going to ask you to do that now. So maybe, like in that drama, you can feel God the Father pulling you. And if so, this is your moment to turn back to him. Do you see in that story, she suddenly reached a moment where she turned away and ran back towards her loving Heavenly Father. In that drama, Jesus died to give you the chance to be reunited with your loving Heavenly Father. So if you have a sinful heart, if you know you're going to fail security, if you need Jesus living inside you, you can come up here in just 2 minutes' time and you can hand in your sinful heart and you can receive Christ's wonderful, pure heart. You can hand in your past and you can receive Christ's future. You can hand in your sin and receive his forgiveness. You can hand in your stuff and you can receive Christ's perfection. You can walk through this gate tonight, maybe for the first time in your whole life, and it will not go beep because you'll have Jesus Christ living inside you. Isn't that wonderful? You can receive his perfection. You can receive forgiveness. You can be born again tonight. You can begin a new relationship with God, with your loving Heavenly Father. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. So that if you tonight, on a Wednesday night, at Uttoxeter Racecourse, break the circle of red caps and give your life to Jesus Christ for the very first time, you can have eternal life. You needn't perish. You can be forgiven. You can start all over. Jesus died for you. The title of this message is Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You can come to him in 60 seconds time if you want to. So I'm going to invite you right now. If you need Jesus Christ to forgive you, if you need a new start in life, if you know you have a sinful heart, you're going to fail security. Maybe you don't know God personally. You know that if you were to die tonight, you wouldn't go to heaven. You don't have that certainty. There's never been a time that you've crossed the line of faith. Folks, that time is tonight. So I'm going to invite you right now. When I say three, break the circle of red caps. Come to the cross of Christ if you want to. You ready? So if you need Jesus Christ to forgive you, if you want to hand in your sin and receive his forgiveness, you want to hand in your past and receive his future, if you want forgiveness tonight, if you need Jesus Christ to come and live inside to you, if you have never given your life to Jesus Christ before, I want you to come when I say three. One, two, three. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come forward. Break through the circle of red caps. Give your life to him. Come to Jesus tonight. God loves you and has a plan for your life. Come to the cross of Christ. Come and receive forgiveness. Come and receive it. Come to Jesus. I'm asking you now. I'm asking you. If you need forgiveness, turn from your sin and receive Christ. I'm asking you to turn away from what you know to be wrong. I'm asking you to come to the cross of Christ. Hand in your past, receive his future. Hand in your sin, receive his forgiveness. It's a great deal. Jesus wants to perform open heart surgery on you tonight. So I'm asking you to come. I'm asking you to leave your seat wherever you're seated and come here to the front. Give your life to Jesus Christ. He lived the life you could never live. He died the death you deserve to die. Won't you come to him? God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Why don't you come? Come on. Come to Jesus. Come right now. Come on, Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come on. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Wonderful. Keep coming. Thank you, Lord. There's more still coming. You guys in the red caps, you may have to take a few steps back. There's people trying to get in who can't get in. There's people trying to get in who can't get in. Come right forward. All of you, come right forward. Come right forward against the stage. There are others who are coming and they can't get in. Come right forward. Come to Jesus. If you've never given your life to Jesus before, break through the red caps. Come to Jesus tonight. Thank you, Lord. Come right forward. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Won't you come? Come to him right now. Hallelujah. God bless you.